welcome to the, well, I was going to say the last God is a Geek podcast of the year, but that's not true. I'm your host, Adam Cook, and with me today is Christopher White.
Merry Christmas, Adam.
Merry Christmas, Christopher. It's not really, it's kind of the last podcast of the year in terms of being current. Does that make sense?
But yes.
Because we are, Chris, we have taken a break, literally taken a break from Game of the Year deliberations to do a regular podcast for everyone, because we don't want to let anyone down, and we like to give you... We didn't think that, you know, what... I mean, Chris, this is a bit of an inside joke, you know, because you've been a part of it, but this year's Game of the Year podcasts are looking like record breakers, so we just thought, why not give them another hour or three quarters of an hour, because, you know, they won't be sick of our voices, definitely. But what that does mean is we're in a bit of a weird situation, because we can't talk too much about games, because we don't want to, you know, like, we're right in the middle of it. Chris is playing Gears 5, catching up. I'm playing a bit of Judgment, catching up. So we thought we'd do a bit different, and we do some loads of listener correspondence, and we talk about the Game Awards, because we don't normally do news, and there's a lot that happened, Chris, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting as well, because we're not reflecting on the year. We've done that. We're going to be doing loads of that for the Game of the Year. It's nice to look forward. And like the Game Awards was nuts. Like, I wasn't expecting there to be so much. And whilst there were things that I thought might be announced that weren't, the stuff that did was very exciting. Especially one announcement which you're going to get to, which I couldn't believe. Very exciting.
I mean, I was certainly not expecting this, the name and the visuals of an Xbox, the new Xbox, to be announced. I actually think it's kind of weird to do this, because Sony won't do this. They won't. They'll do a... they won't do a State of Play. That's PlayStation Experience, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know this, I'm guessing, but Sony will reveal their PlayStation 5, I would imagine, at this big marquee event that's just about them showing off their new console, the controller, the tech, you know. I don't know. You were there live.
Yes. Like,
obviously a really awkward time for us in the UK, but like, was it... I was looking through like the news and I just saw this, I was like, wait, what's the Xbox Series X? Because they do a lot of console SKUs, and I was thinking, this is a new SKU, and I was like, wait, that's like a PC tower, what's going... hang on, this is their new console. I was watching the trailer.
Weird. It was so weird,
wasn't
because...
there, you know, I didn't see it. Yeah, I mean... was watching this trailer going, what is this? What?
Yeah. The way they did the announcements on the night, it was like they do an award, and then all of a sudden on the screen it'd be like a breaking announcement or major announcement, and then it'd just go into something. So we got like some trailers, like for Maneater, the one where you're a shark, and then there was a few others, and then it just kind of went into this Xbox announcement out of nowhere. No one would have been expecting that. It was so like, just, here you go, here's a new Xbox.
So did they have anyone on stage afterwards to talk about it, or was it just...
Yes, they did. They had Phil Spencer come out.
Okay.
And he went on about it for a brief few minutes, and then they went into the first game announcement, like Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. Mm. It was kind of like, so one of our developers, and the way that we were talking about it, I was thinking, oh my god, it's Ninja Theory, but I was expecting a new game, like a new IP. Not that it doesn't deserve a sequel, because it absolutely does, but I just wasn't expecting another Hellblade. And then when they announced it, the trailer just absolutely knocked me for six, because like, that's showing the power of this Xbox Series X, and it is insane. Like, it, so I mean, we'll see, but they look like there was a lot of gameplay bits dropped in. And it's seamless, like, it's beautiful. So, like, it's got some power to it. And it'll be interesting to see that when it comes out. But it was just a weird announcement. It just came out of nowhere. And the kind of trade obviously starts with just flitting back and forth between a few games. And you don't quite know what's going on. And then all of a sudden you see Master Chief and you're like, oh, here we go. And then, they're like, this is the Xbox Series X.
So for me... as you saw it after the fact, like what I'm looking at here is that they're going big, in every way. Like, you know, people have said, you know, people first question. It's crazy to me. This, like, the first question is, oh god, why does it look like that? They've already gone. Yeah, you can put it on its side. You know, you can put it however you want, really. I like the look of it, I will say, but
it looks like a kind of
slim. Well, not slim. It looks like a rectangular PC tower. And I've no problem with that whatsoever. It looks cool. But it looks big, but like if anyone was expecting the consoles that can be as powerful as they're saying they are, weren't going to be big, I don't know what you want. Like, if they're going to make a console the size of, say, the Xbox One X right now, with the power of the Series X, there's going to be ventilation issues, there's going to be overheating issues, it needs to be able to cool down. There's a lot of hardware in there. It is the most powerful console. Now we've seen it, now we know the specs, my only concern, I'm not too keen on the name. It seems to me a little bit like they're trying to go the Apple route of calling this Xbox, but they have added Series X, which,
yeah,
honestly, I think it muddies the water, because when you've got the Xbox One X, the Xbox Series X, I just wonder how, like, Christmas 2020, how many disappointed kids are going to be because Granny got the wrong... But I feel like what this will just be eventually called is the Xbox. And people kind of refer to the Xbox now as the Xbox.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You don't. You know, if I say to you, like, "Hey, what did you play Control on?" You'd just say PS5, and I would say this. Sorry, PS4 even, and I would just say the same. Except, well, I wouldn't go, "Oh, Xbox One X." I'd just say I played on the Xbox One.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
My only concern is that this does sound expensive. Like, they didn't announce a price, right?
No, they didn't. They didn't announce a price.
This looks like a 500 quid box to me.
I can see it being that. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, see how they've said what it's, you know, what it's going to do, what it can do. I don't see it coming under 500. Well, 499. I wonder if they'll go for 5999.
I hope not.
5999.
I hope not. But I mean, what the previous Xbox consoles came out quite steep, didn't they? Was it around 400?
Now, do you know what it was? It was 429. The original Xbox One.
Right. Okay. Well, so I kind of get that. If it's just under 500, I wouldn't say I'd be happy to pay, because who's got 500 just to throw on a console when it launches? But I think that's reasonable for the kind of hardware that it's bringing to the table.
As someone who, you know, you currently play, you know, both consoles.
Mm.
Well, all consoles. You know, you play in whatever the game comes on. You know, you're like me. Yes. Yeah. You're not really fast. You just want to play the games. But as someone who, like me, has got a limited amount of budget, where, you know, we don't know a lot about the PS5 right now, but we know it's probably going to be similar, but probably not quite as powerful, I guess. Has this, you know, you're someone who I think generally, if I were to really push, I'd say you maybe veer towards PS4 playing, and I maybe veer towards Xbox, but it's negligible to say the least. But at the moment, has this done anything for you? Has this moved the needle for you, like what you've seen of it?
Currently, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it has. I mean, because obviously most people that got a Sony PlayStation went straight to the PS2, very much ignored the Xbox, but then it was Xbox 360. That was my whole console. I got a PS3 very late. In fact, I think I got it about 2 months before The Last of Us, because I wanted The Last of Us. So I caught up on a lot. Like, I caught up on all the Uncharted and the God of Wars and stuff. Whereas now we've kind of had the best of both worlds for that, the console generation. Like,
there's not been that thing where, like, do you remember, what game was it? It was a Ninja Theory game. There was a game that came out on both platforms. No, it was Bayonetta.
Oh, yeah.
It was Bayonetta that ran like ass on PS3. Mm. And we haven't really had that I can think of, where, the you know, if a game comes out on both now, it...
not on this generation. The last one I can think of was Skyrim on the PS3 being
right. So even
atrocious.
Then, that's last gen.
Absolutely, yeah. Nothing thus far. But I don't necessarily choose one over the other now. Like, I'd quite happily play both. I think they're both fantastic in different ways. But like, looking into the future, I would much rather play Hellblade 2 than Godfall.
That was the next question I was going to have for you, right? So, I don't want to be that guy, but they've completely changed the convention of the name of that series, because wasn't the original game called Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice?
Yeah.
And now it's called Senua's Saga Hellblade 2.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, really annoying. So, question for you, and we won't dwell on it for ages, because, you know, people will still be playing Hellblade.
Yeah.
A bit of a surprise, because it was for me.
Bit of a surprise, yeah. And obviously, if people haven't played it, we won't spoil it. But no. They felt like a very definite end.
It felt like a one-and-done game, didn't it?
Because it's all about her journey and her demons.
I will say, if there's ever a studio that I'm like, oh, I'm really, it's really cool that they're getting... Because I said this last week, or the week before, with the amount of podcasts we've done, it's all genuinely just one big blur of speaking.
Yes.
But I remember saying either on last week or the week before's podcast that one of my concerns was Xbox have bought all these studios and we've got Obsidian doing a kind of Fallout 76 and we've got Ninja Theory doing kind of an Overwatch sort of third-person-y thing. Whereas I felt like Ninja Theory would be the series that could make the Xbox equivalent of Uncharted.
Yes.
Because I think if they do hone the combat of Hellblade to make it more than just what it was, which is just serviceable, I think, in the original.
Yes.
It could well be their cinematic masterpiece kind of blockbustery game. I mean, maybe difficult with the source material, with the lore, rather. You know, it's easier to sell Nathan Drake and his kind of summer blockbuster movie like in a game is easier to sell than mental health, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think because a lot of the feeling of it was like Norse mythology as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
So they've kind of, I mean, God of War did that. Obviously, there's not the mental health background, but I feel they are talented enough to make it work, and I think it could very well be an Xbox, like one of those seminal Xbox games. And I think because I don't know what the capacity at Ninja Theory is at the minute. How many?
Well, there are two game studio now, clearly.
Right. So yeah. So you're going to have.
You saw this. Did they say what? Because I'm now assuming you can correct me. Is this a launch game? Because it kind of would suggest
it felt very
it
much like it was. I can't remember if it had a release date. But it felt very much like this is the Xbox Series X and this is our launch game. I don't think he mentioned it as a launch, but I do think it makes sense to. And if they've been working on it since the previous one and this whole deal with Microsoft was in the bag then there's no reason why not, because it looks very polished now.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got another year. It could quite possibly be. I think it makes sense to be a release game.
Here's a bit of info from WindowsCentral.com. This is a different team at Ninja Theory than the one working under Rani Tucker developing Bleeding Edge. So there's two distinct teams. Melinda Jurgens is reprising her role. I mean, we can see that. Footage for the trailer was captured in-engine. That's kind of it. It is an exclusive. It's exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem, which means it could be on PC.
Yeah.
They haven't said if it's coming to Xbox One as well, although I think they've probably got some messaging to get out around that, because part of this next gen is going to be interesting to see if games just come to, and I'm doing inverted commas, Xbox, and that means it comes to any Xbox platform, but if you play on a Series X, you're going to get monster, you know, visuals. No release date or even a release window, but to me, and we'll move on from this obviously, but at a guess, I would say that you would probably have this, because then you've got your first sort of first-party adventure game. I'd say you're going to have Forza, probably Motorsport 8, and I'd say you're probably going to have Halo Infinite for your shooter. And I think then, you know, you'll get your FIFAs that will come to it as well. Moving on, just briefly touching on these, and we'll get into some listener correspondence, but Godfall is the first PS5 game we've been officially shown, although I'm going to group Ghost of Tsushima in here, because part of me suspects that if that game's coming out in summer, they said, right, Tsushima, that's incredibly late in a generation when the console is out in let's say November, I guess. And in fact, I mean, I can see Last of Us 2 and Tsushima both. Also, by the way, was it always called Ghost of Tsushima, or was it called Ghosts?
I always thought it was Ghost.
Oh, you thought it was because I thought it was plural. Okay.
Because it was about the
yeah.
one.
Okay, I think I just got that wrong. I mean, you know, Godfall looks impressive and like a loot game that looks fun. Tsushima looks hot as fuck, doesn't it?
Hot.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the fact that they are releasing this at the end of the
weird, right?
cycle, it's weird, but also some balls because when you release a new console, you want like proper benchmarks in that release, like launch. And if they're coming before, then what the hell are we getting at launch?
I wonder, there's rumours that Gran Turismo, like not Sport, like another actual, would it be 7 or 8?
God knows.
What was the last one? Prologues? I can't remember, but I would imagine they'll have a driving game on that platform. Hang on, who bought... Oh, no, it was Codemasters that bought Slightly Mad Studios, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's not that. Huh.
Yeah, I ain't got a clue.
I mean, Sony have got a lot of studios. I mean, they could... Chris, they could... I mean, I don't want to excite us both needlessly, but they could easily just say God of War 2 is a launch title.
They could do Horizons 2.
See, that's the one for me, I think, Horizon...
But I feel it's a bit... Well, I suppose it's not that...
Well, you think when that came
late.
Out...
I mean, they could do it... They could then have to announce it, like, later down the year. Like, early next year to announce that for PS5 will make sense.
But Horizon Zero Dawn came out in 2017, which would mean if they released Horizon Zero Dawn 2 or whatever it would be called in, like, November 2020, that's still a three-year cycle, so it's... It's hard to know.
I suppose for one studio.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll be working. I mean, they're working on something. They just will be.
But yeah, God
and
knows.
They were there. They were there for the launch of the PS4 with Killzone. Shadowfall, that which looked insane. I quite liked it actually.
It was alright. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know because all the big studios they've kind of just been in the last few years like. Spider-Man, Days Gone, that's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man.
Cry. And then God of War. I don't know if we get a God of War too soon. I don't think I'd want one this soon.
No, I think it would be too
soon. I want
soon.
It to sink in for a bit.
I think just, so.
Yeah.
I think 2021, if...
Yes.
I mean, I still feel like God of War left space for DLC, but...
Mm. Yeah, no, we never got it.
Mm. Yeah, never say never. Gears Tactics is a game I'm quite excited for. I'm slightly now concerned for the release date, April 28th, 2020. How did it look, though?
Oh, it looks good, man.
Yeah?
It looks interesting, yeah. But, yeah, I think it would be a good game. It's like one of the few Xbox originals coming up, really.
But, man, a week and a half after Cyberpunk?
Oh, I know.
The same month as Resi 3?
Yeah, it's like there's...
2 weeks before Marvel's Avengers. No, but
it's a weird release date. I'll give them that.
I mean, it is sandwiched for you and I. I mean, for probably most people listening to this podcast, this is the way April and May currently looks. Resident Evil 3 and Cyberpunk. I will actually play that Predator Hunting Grounds game. That looks interesting. Mm-hmm. Then Gears Tactics, which is so it's sandwiched between Resi 3, Cyberpunk, Avengers, and The Last of Us Part 2 at the end of May. I mean, it's a totally different game, isn't it? It's a very, very different kind of game.
Of course it is, yeah.
But it's also then, if you look back a bit, March has got Persona 5 Royale, Bleeding Edge, which I'll play because it's Ninja Theory, Doom Eternal, Animal Crossing, Nioh 2, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and of course a little-known game, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
That is mental. I'm sure there hasn't been months like that this year. Like that. Those
it's been a few years,
ridiculous.
Actually. I remember one end sort of... I want to say it was like in September, October that we were just reviewing. It was like AAA after AAA, and they were just. I can't remember what year it was. It was a couple of years ago. I remember you, myself, and Mick were just thrashing through these games.
Yeah.
Not much to say about Prologue, but it's the new game from PlayerUnknown.
No,
so
absolutely no detail whatsoever. But you've got to be excited in some capacity for it because it's PlayerUnknown.
Absolutely, exactly.
And whether it. I mean, there's no specification of what type of game it is. No. I'd assume it's a... I mean, I like to see a single player from them, but I don't know whether it's just another, like, online... I hope it's not a battle royale. It'd be nice to see something a bit different from
them. It's not a shooter, they've said.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
There's an article here on Forbes. There's also an advert here on Forbes. PlayerUnknown talks about the mysterious Prologue. If there's one piece of information that Brendan Green wants you to know about Prologue, which was just revealed at the Game Awards, it's this. It's not PUBG 2. It's not going to be a shooter. All we know so far, really, is it's going to be something else. And that's fine, I think. Isn't it? You know, that's...
Yeah. You know, for him to release such a huge game, like, that's all, you know, that legacy is all you need. That one, you know, I think if this one's good, then this would be someone to watch out for in the future, because he's not that old, is he?
No, I think he's so, compared to us, he's a kid, I think. I don't actually know, if I'm honest with you.
But the last game, no.
The last game I've got written down for you is something I thought I'd never hear the word. I'd never hear this again as it's coming soon or coming out. And I don't know anything about it because I haven't had a chance to catch up. So tell me what they revealed about The Wolf Among Us 2.
I just saw the trailer. So it's just...
Did it have a release date though or anything? Or was it...
No. It was quite a short trailer, about a minute and
just
a half.
Just to say, hey, it was dead, but it's
we
not haven't, now.
Yeah, we're here. It's still coming out. Very little in there. It kind of... Camera phased through into a window to just reveal kind of a cigarette just being smoked. You know, Bigby's there.
Okay.
That's kind of all it is. But again, that's all at this point. It's just nice to know that game is still alive.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the best Telltale, if not the best Telltale game.
I absolutely enjoyed it. Tales from the Borderlands for me.
Yeah.
I think those two are exceptionally... just excellent.
And I think it opens up that world. For those that haven't read the comics, it does a fantastic job of, you know, using that source material and making it into a choice-based video game. Like, they are the best there's ever been at that kind of thing. And I'm glad that somehow that legacy still kind of lives on somewhat. But yeah, it looks great.
And that was the Game Awards. I mean, hey, we're not here to review the Game Awards, and I didn't see them, but did you enjoy it, what you saw?
I enjoyed what I saw, yeah. There was loads of other cool little bits. The Final Fantasy VII remake trailer. Like, anyone who's even heard that game's coming out next year are buying it regardless, but the new trailer looks awesome.
I'm at the point of that where I don't really want to see or hear any more of it. I just want it now. It's like... I don't know if you saw this. I might have to Google it very quickly, but are you a big 7 fan?
When it came out, I played it and absolutely adored it. And then I got sidetracked with every other game that came out, so I've not spent loads of time in the Final Fantasy universe, but Final Fantasy VII, yes, I loved it very much.
I'm just trying to find it. I can't find it now, but something interesting is that they put out the details for the 7 remake soundtrack. And obviously being a big fan of it, like the amount of songs on it make me worry about how long this part one is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, here you go, I found it. Okay, so I can't find the actual story that says it, but basically it has two records and the first disc has only got 10 songs. That's not a lot of songs. And I'm wondering how far you get into the actual game on part one. And part of me wonders how long this is going to be. But, you know, we'll find out.
It was supposed to be episodic, wasn't it? Is that still happening?
Yeah, it is. So this is kind of... It's called Final Fantasy VII Remake, but this is part one.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how long part one's going to be, because I don't know that it seems like it's going to be that long. I mean, all they've shown has been very early stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So we don't. That doesn't. It's not indicative of the final game, but I don't know.
No, just before we move on, I wanted the Weird West was a trailer that's definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
It's being produced. It's being published by Devolver Digital.
Okay.
It's like a weird kind of isometric game. Which there's not a lot to it at the minute, but just watch the trailer and see what you think, because it's like combining like westerns with like horror and.
Yeah,
it looks really good, man. Okay. Yeah, it's from a couple of people from Arkane. Obviously, it did Dishonored and Prey, so it's their new studio, Wolfeye. So it's certainly worth checking out.
Yeah,
it's just like a random announcement, but it looked really cool. So yeah, all in all, mate, it was a decent little lineup of trailers and stuff.
Mm. Okay, well, let's do some listener correspondence. As I say, a bit of a different podcast this week. We normally talk about games we've been playing. If you're a new listener for some reason in the middle of December, but we're in the middle of Game of the Year, so we can't really talk too much about what we're playing because a lot of that is catch-up for Game of the Year. So let's get into some questions, and in no particular order, we've got quite a few to get through. So can each of the team, well, it's only you and me here, Chris, but can, so Chris, can you complete this sentence? A man walks into a pub and...
Oh, man, I've been thinking, that's not what he says. I can't, mate.
Okay, I mean, for me, it'd be a man walks into a pub and has a very sore head. It's not very that funny, work. But like, if he walks into the pub, it's a solid building, and it's a bad joke. It's in the spirit of bad jokes for cracker time, you see, so...
Yeah, I mean, all my jokes are... I can't really say them on the
podcast. No, no, this is the thing, the... Yeah, I mean...
That's not because I'm like a
horrible... No.
No, but, you know, the climate, I don't want any... We might have some sensitive ears out there, and I don't want to upset anyone just before Christmas.
I mean, I was tempted then to do like a Bernard Manning impression and say, you can't tell fucking jokes to any cunt these days, you know. But like, what is your go-to joke? Is that what Bernard Manning sounds like? I can't actually remember.
Yeah.
He's dead now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's probably long gone. What is your go-to joke is the follow-up question. Mine is what... I'm not saying this. This is just me repeating what someone sent us. What is my go-to joke, this person said, is what did the leper say to the prostitute? Keep the tip.
That's my question.
Which is a decent joke.
That was my question for last week.
Oh, was that your question? I haven't written down who put these. Okay, so well, you said
so
it.
That's my go-to joke. This is what I mean.
I haven't got one, man. I'm not really a kind of jokes guy.
I'm not.
I react more to what people say. And that's...
I'm not, but like that's the one I've just gone with for my whole life. Well, not my whole life. I wasn't to learn that joke when I was five, but...
I mean,
like,
the one that always used to work, that probably doesn't anymore, is there's two parrots sat on a perch and the other one says to the other one, can you smell fish? That's probably my go-to joke. What's the worst line or lines from a song that you've ever heard? I'd go with Brian McFadden's Real To Me. This isn't another one of yours, is it? I've not written down any...
No.
Who wrote any of these questions this week for some reason.
No, I have a line in a song that really bothers me because, and my wife hates me for doing this, but whenever someone uses a double negative, I always correct them on the telly. So there's a song by Cheryl Cole, and I can't even remember what it's, Fight For This Love, it's called. Okay. And she says, and it's a fact that she's trying to fit a whole sentence with too many syllables into the song, and it just doesn't flow. And the line is, now every day ain't gonna be no picnic. But she says gone, so every day ain't going to be no picnic.
Oh, that's bad.
Right? But every day isn't going to be no picnic, so it is going to be a picnic.
Mm.
Fucks me off.
No.
And it's just a shit line. And maybe I'm thinking too much about this, but that is the worst line I can think of.
I'm trying to think of bands I like, and one that's more recent... I quite like, so in terms of live bands, like The Killers are cracking live, a superb live band. Mm. And their debut album, was it their debut album, Hot Fuzz? I think
Hot
it was.
Fuss.
Hot Fuzz,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Fucking incredible album.
Absolutely superb. But they've got a song called, shit, what's it called? I think it's called Human. Yeah, it's called Human. And one of the main lyrics is, are we human or are we dancer?
Oh, yeah.
And I really don't like that line. It really rubs up against me. And I used to be a big fan of Feeder back in the day. I haven't even listened to their new album now. But like Grant Nicholas would have a lot of lyrics that were based around sort of water, swimming and fish. But like in terms of... It was also a phase in my life when I was writing a lot of music and I would kind of... I was more into the Manic Street Preachers, so I was more into like sort of... being clever, if you will.
Yes.
So although I liked Feeder, sometimes a lot of Grant's lyrics rhymed. A lot of them rhymed. And one of them, like in Buck Rogers, get a house in Devon, drink cider from a lemon.
Yeah.
Like he did a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're good songs. They're good songs. But I mean, like Oasis did that tool as well. Did that a lot. But I never found it... I don't know. But, like, yeah, the Are We Human or Are We Dancer one really...
That's a good shout.
It just really bugs me. It just doesn't... I mean, it must have made sense to someone at some point.
Mm.
But not to me.
No. Maybe it was a Christmas song and he meant to say Prancer.
Possibly.
And he got it wrong and they just kept it in.
We're not doing the go-to jokes anymore, Chris. It's fine.
Oh, sorry.
The wizards say we have all got one book in us. You get a sabbatical from your work to write your novel. What would the story be about?
Right. Can I... I'm going to bring it down and be quite... Not in a vulgar way, just in a quite a deep what's it way.
Hmm.
I've always had an idea of writing a children's book about... Oh, God, this is really dark. I'm sorry. But...
Oh, God.
When children become terminally ill, just stick with me. I'm just
But if
a child becomes terminally ill, it's hard for a parent to try and talk them through what's happening and get them through it. I always had the idea of writing a children's book, which created this land that when they died, they would go there, so that the adult could read this book to them and they could be like feel happy that when they go, they would end up in this happy place.
Hmm.
And I just thought that might help them to help their child. It might give them kind of something to give to their child instead of like confusion and that. Really dark, really miserable. Don't know why I've just brought that up, but I'll probably write something along those lines maybe.
Okay. I mean, mine would be incredibly narcissistic. It would probably be an autobiography because I have... For someone who is just pretty normal, I think I'm quite normal. I mean, normal in a good way. Like I think being normal is boring, but I mean, there's nothing particularly weird about me. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing.
Yeah.
But I've delivered a baby. I have been the... I never know what the correct term is, but when you are like a vicar hosts a funeral. I mean, host is definitely the wrong word there. You don't host a funeral. But you know what I mean? Like I've done that. I've been the person who conducted a funeral. That's a pretty odd thing. Let's say I've delivered a baby. I've hosted a funeral. Well, I don't know what the word would be. We don't need to talk about it, but I've had a heart attack. I've done a lot of... A lot of stuff has happened to me. Like I say, I delivered my own child, which is, I think, pretty... that's pretty unusual.
Yeah,
very
much so.
Like, I think I'm a good example of how... Oh, it sounds really arrogant when I say it. I've committed. I've not committed it. But like, I think I'm quite a good example of... Listen, there's a lot of people way worse off than me, but I'm a good example of someone who refuses to be beaten. So I reckon I could write a good self-help book, but in a kind of autobiographical way, you know, a kind of... You know, a book that starts with, buckle up, motherfuckers, this is going to get rough, but ends with a kind of message of hope, you know?
Yeah.
Like I say, narcissistic, but I think I'm a hard man to keep down. I have my moments, but not for long. Either that or just some book about a footballer, perhaps. I don't know. It's one thing I haven't done yet is I'd quite like to write about football, and I've never done that. And yeah, maybe, I don't know, who knows. A major studio, Chris, hands you a huge pot of money and creative freedom to make a sequel to any movie you like. What do you make and why?
Oh,
I misread this question and thought it was games, and now I have no answer. So I'm glad you're going first.
I would make a Judge Dredd movie that blends the world of Sylvester Stallone's movie with the tone of the Carl Urban movie. I'm a big Judge Dredd fan, and I loved The Last Judge Dredd with Carl Urban, but it only focused on one building in Mega City 1, where I'd love to create like the world of Judge Dredd in a proper full-blown film, but just not make it as shit as the one that Stallone did. Even though the world that was created in there was spot on to the comics, I felt. So a blockbuster Judge Dredd film, that is what I'll probably make off the top of my head.
I literally can't think of a fucking... E.T.? I don't know.
I'd love to make a Bowie film.
I can't think of a movie I like that hasn't got a sequel.
Does it have to be a sequel?
Yes, it's got to
be.
Oh,
fuck that. I can't. Sequel. I suppose. Judge. Oh, I don't know now. Fuck.
It would work. Yours is still probably a sequel to both movies at the same time.
Yeah.
I got nothing, mate, I'm afraid. I do like my movies, but I can't think of one. Did the Doom movie ever get a sequel? No, they're making one, aren't they? Or they're making a new Doom movie. That's the trouble now. Even movies that didn't get sequels are getting remade.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got nothing. I'm sorry. What's your most cherished Christmas memory from childhood? Was there a special present or moment that really defined Christmas for you? I can go on this one if you want a moment to think.
Yeah, no, go for it.
I couldn't tell you how old I was. I would say around about 12, 13. My parents didn't have a lot of money. Like, most of Christmas was done on tick. For those who don't know what that means, it means basically they spent a fortune, but they spent it on catalogues and paid it off for years to come. For some reason, despite living in the upstairs part of a maisonette, that's a flat, isn't it, essentially? Like a
Yeah.
So it's not like a block of flats, but like there's the upstairs and the downstairs. That's a maisonette, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we lived in the upstairs one of them in a council flat. It was a council flat. I'm trying to sound posh, I'm not. We lived in a council flat. Despite the fact that my mum and dad worked really fucking hard, we didn't have any money, like, you know, and what little we had, the holidays we went on were basically my dad's boss, who was well off, said, look, I can't afford a bonus for you, but I'm gonna send you guys on holiday. So we used to go to Spain on holiday. That was, I'm not trying to paint the picture of us being like, you know, death's door, but we didn't have a lot of money. So, and yet, I'll be honest with you, I never wanted for anything. Whenever I put stuff on the old Christmas list, I got it. And you can imagine my surprise when the one year I put a snooker table on on my Christmas list, that at 2 a.m my dad, who worked bloody hard, was a military man and still worked even after that. He didn't retire on a military pension. He worked. He came out with nothing and he kept working. My mum didn't work when I was a kid, but she worked. She only recently stopped working in her mid-70s, mid to late 70s. So like I said, my family's always worked pretty hard. So the snooker table, and it was like, we lived in a flat. We didn't have room for a flat. And my parents not only got me this snooker table, it wasn't like a full-sized one like you see, you know, I don't know, who's a modern snooker player? Stephen Hendry? I don't know. Ronnie O'Sullivan?
That's where I got to. Ronnie O'Sullivan.
You know, it wasn't that, but the only decent room they had in terms of size was their bedroom. And because they got me the snooker table, essentially they almost gave up their own bedroom, because the only space we had in the house was the in this room. And so at 2 in the morning we were putting the snooker table together, playing snooker, and, you know, at 3 a.m. when it was put together, and then it went into their bedroom. And I just remember it instilled something in me that no matter how shitty it is, you don't put that on your kids. You know, it made me realize that the kids need to feel good because life's hard. And it just, I just couldn't believe it. Like, you know, I suppose the other one would be the PlayStation. I didn't know at the time because I was too young, probably, but they got me a PlayStation, and they knew there was a local game shop, and it was a really, I mean, small isn't the word. It was like a box room that was attached to another shop. And they got the PlayStation, and they got what they were told were import games. Well, they weren't imported. They were just pirated games that I put them in, and they worked. And I had my, it had been the PlayStation was already chipped and everything. I don't know how this worked. I don't know how they weren't technology friendly. They were technophobes, a pair of them. And the games all worked, but they were all in black and white. And because I didn't have a SCART cable, I was using the AV cables. PlayStation and a snooker table. Have you got one?
Yeah, I think mine's similar with the PlayStation. I remember it's kind of one of the fondest memories, because my parents were, they still are devout Christians. And the things that I kind of had to sacrifice as a kid because of their beliefs. And obviously, you know, I respect them both, and that their beliefs are their beliefs. But things like Spyro the Dragon, they went to a seminar on dragons in religion, and they got rid of all dragons from the house. I had to get rid of my copy of Shenmue, my copy of the Lost Prophets first album, because it had Dragon in the title, which I suppose in hindsight is probably a good thing now.
Yeah.
But when the PlayStation came out, I really wanted, I'd seen Die Hard Trilogy in a magazine.
And oh, like, what a game.
When you think now, like, the visually, like, and kind of violence wise, like, Grand Theft Auto is a million miles away from that. Like, it's soft as anything when you look back on it. But at the time, like, there was an option to turn the blood on and off and stuff like that. So I just remember opening all my presents on the morning, and then this is the only time they've ever done the whole surprise after you've opened all your presents thing, and they brought me in a PlayStation, and with it was Die Hard Trilogy. And like I was so chuffed, and I remember Dad set it up for me, and I was playing on it, and he came in and he was like, "How is it?" Like, and he came and watched me, and then I was honest with him and I said, "Dad, there's a blood mode. Do you want me to turn it off?" And he was like, "Nah, keep it on." And that's like kind of just something that's always stuck with me. Like, I'm not saying like it was difficult being a kid and my parents being religious, but like there was a lot of stuff we couldn't do. But this was I felt really special. So I'd say that the PlayStation, the original PlayStation.
Okay.
Yeah.
What cartoon character are you jealous of? I always fancied the Garfield Life of Sleeping in Lasagna. It's probably Garfield, yeah. He just gets to be a douche, doesn't he? He gets to be a douche to everyone and eat lasagna all the time.
He's just a grumpy, cynical cat who gets fed lasagna, don't have to do anything. Yeah, Garfield, you twat.
I'm kind of jealous of that life. He doesn't have to do anything and people feed him.
Yeah.
But have you got any that you can think of? I mean, there's the Red Dwarf joke, I suppose, of, you know, Fred Flintstone, because if you've seen his wife, you know.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah. No, I think Garfield.
I'd go with Betty, but I'd be thinking of Wilma, that one, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, classic Red Dwarf. Mm-hmm. It's Garfield. It's got to be Garfield.
There's got to be another cartoon character.
Yeah, I'm going through.
I just can't think of any at all at the moment.
I'm literally cycling between The Simpsons, South Park and Family Guy. But I can't think of any bloody cartoons.
Well, maybe we can come back to that. We'll just go with Garfield for now. Yeah. If you were to appear on The Apprentice, what hyperbolic intro would you write for yourself? How would you big up, for example? Cookster, the brand. I've got the heart of a lion and I open my Coke cans with one hand. That kind of thing. Now, the problem for me with this question is the thing I'm the worst at is self-promotion. Like, I know I'm good at stuff, but I am really bad at saying, this is why you should use me, because I'm so good. I'm really bad at it. So I haven't got a fucking clue how to answer this question.
Oh, my God.
Cooks to the brand, I'll never let you down, and I'll be the best friend you ever had. Not exactly a hell of a... not exactly a, you know, riotous one, is it? But that's about as good. It's honest.
No. Chris White, small knob, big heart.
I mean, it's you wouldn't forget it.
No.
I could go with big knob fucked heart, I suppose. I don't know.
Heart of a Trojan.
Yeah. And condoms just like it.
Yeah.
So we can workshop it. We can get it to work. You know, slogan, don't throw away that. I'm in now. Might as well. Don't throw away that rubbish bag. You can use that on his cot. No, I don't think. Are any other team going to Pantos this year? This is an easy one. If so, which ones? Nope, I'm not. Sorry.
I hate pantomimes.
Simple.
Hate it. I mean, not because I don't. I'm just very uncomfortable. I hate the crowd interaction. I hate it. The thought where someone might... like, I don't go to comedy shows because I don't want... like, I nearly have Russell Brand sit on my lap. Like, I just don't like it. I don't want anyone to, like, what's your name? Or have someone come down, like, the aisle dressed as a cat and sit on my lap in some pantomime. Not for me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just not, so I can't really add to that. I've got two to go. Shag, marry, or avoid? I bet you were reading these because thinking he won't ask this one, but I am.
Oh, this is mine.
Oh, is this yours as well?
I had this one and I had the joke one.
Yeah, this is from last week that we didn't get to. Shag, marry or avoid Kirby, Donkey Kong, Toad. Isn't it supposed to be Shag, marry, kill? We'll go with avoid. It's less just, you know.
In my head I was thinking of Snog, marry, avoid.
I think
that stupid show. Go with kill.
No. Let's keep it positive. Avoid.
Avoid's not positive.
I don't want to get into too much sexual things. but I'll say Shag Kirby. And if you do, if you really need me to spell out why, there's problems. I think the reasons are obvious. I think I'd marry Donkey Kong because I just get the feeling he'd protect me.
Oh, I'm going a different route to you.
And Toad I'd avoid because I just all the whole time, like his voice would. You know, you spend a lot of time talking to someone you're with, and like, nah. Yeah. So that would be it for me.
I would avoid Toad. I would.
Oh my God. I realise what that means. You said you're going a different route.
Kirby is a very, like, sweet, cuddly little fella. I would like to be married to him.
But Kirby wears all these different faces, doesn't he? You know, or is it she? I don't even know. Kirby, whatever Kirby is got all these costumes. Like, I would just... Kirby would do the dirty on you, mate, and you'd just come back and go, no, that wasn't Kirby. That was Kirby the Adventurer.
I'd feel more protected in a... I'd shag Donkey Kong. Big arms.
I mean, we all would. I'm not saying that's not... If that's on the table as well...
No, you can only shag one of them.
Oh, it's still Kirby.
I'm going Donkey Kong.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last question.
Don't judge.
No. Hey, there's no shaming here. From Nick Gillam. We miss you, Nick. Hello, Nick. Merry Christmas, Nick. When you go to the chippy, that's a chip shop, for a fish and chip shop for anyone who doesn't understand what the chippy is, what's your regular choice, Chris?
Oh, do you know what? I'm going there after this pod, so...
Oh.
That's a fucking top question, so I already know what I'm getting.
Go on.
So I normally go for... God, I don't want to sound a fat bastard. large chips.
Yeah, that's okay.
With just salt. I don't like vinegar.
Oh, now that is controversial.
Yeah, well, we could always save that for fork off.
Yeah, which...
We'll get vinegar down.
For those wondering, is a new podcast coming to godisageek.com, exclusive to Patreon. For the $5 a month tier, you get a fortnightly podcast called Fork Off, where we rank foods. Sorry, Chris, that's the advert bit overdone. You can carry on.
That's good. Yeah, so I'd go with large chips with just salt. I'd go with... if there's steak pies, I'll have a steak pie, but I'm not going to complain if it's chicken and mushroom.
But kidney, a pie of some description.
But a pie... And then, just because I have to be full. Like, if I'm still hungry afterwards.
I mean, some would argue a pie and a large chips.
Yeah, but not me, mate.
No, okay.
Unfortunately not. and just so we know, I do split these large chips with my kids, all right?
Okay. So all you judging me. So you do similar to us then, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll have a battered sausage. Just to wash it down.
I mean, I'll be honest, not dissimilar. Generally, I would have a medium chips and a... I've started to go for just the sausage, a large sausage.
Okay.
Not battered. That was always my favourite, a battered sausage. But, yeah.
They're quite... That batter, like, even now, like, sometimes it's quite sickly sometimes. I think it might... I might be changing in my older age.
But what our local chippy that we go to most do quite a nice cheeseburger, actually. So I tend to have... Well, we tend to get two large chips for the whole family. And then everyone gets what they want with it. And I will have usually just a large sausage and a quarter pounder. So...
Oh, yeah.
What we've started doing recently is getting a pot of curry sauce for the middle of the table, because Chip Shop curry sauce is a special brand, really. And it's lovely. Lovely.
Oh.
That's it. I've nothing more to say. That's my regular. Send us what you like for a chippy at God Is a Geek on Twitter. Otherwise, that's kind of it for this week. We've managed to get an hour out of the Game Awards and a load of questions. Keep the questions coming. You can go at God Is a Geek on facebook.com/God Is a Geek. Where else can you go? podcast@godisageek.com if you want to email longer stuff in, stories about it, stuff you want to talk to us about, and we can share on the podcast. We encourage that entirely. You can get this podcast early on the Patreon. As I've just said, we've changed all the tiers up, but for $1 a month, you get this podcast early. This week, it's a little bit late because of the Game of the Year stuff, and you will get the Game of the Year stuff early. We have also changed the Patreon, so new subscribers via Patreon have to pay in advance. The reason being is that what we do is a lot of that stuff is downloadable, and a lot of like codes we give away, people tend to show up, say they're going to be a Patreon, grab a load of codes, download all the content, and then just cancel their subscription before the first billing cycle. So we have to charge in advance. Shame, but that's the way it goes. But just bear that in mind. We love your support, though. We would love it. Game of the Year is coming. In fact, this this time next week, most people will be probably halfway through that content. If you're a Patreon, this time next week, you'll have heard all of it because you'll get it early. But, you know, there we go. You'll hear myself, Chris, Nicola, and Adam Carroll talking about all the best games and some of the worst games. And it's looking like we probably won't have a quiz this year. Just time factor has just killed us, unfortunately. But there will be lists, there will be articles, there will be podcasts, there will be more than enough Game of the Year content to keep everyone going throughout the festive period and probably into the first week of January at this rate. Chris, thanks for being here, mate. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And everyone else, we will speak to you next week, but in a different format because we'll be ranking things this time next week and there's a lot of hourage for you to listen to. So we'll speak to you next week. Or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.